Does the faith have a chance to fascinate, to attract, and to be embraced by the people of our day? It's a question worth pondering. And Jesus, too, had to work at it. He had to work at making the proclamation of the gospel, of the good news, of the self-revelation of God himself. He had to work at making it attractive to people. So first, he came as a baby, because everybody likes babies, except King Herod. But he came down to us. He came to our level. He came to speak to us as a man. And we know that some of his first followers, the first disciples, were attracted by his very persona. They saw him and knew that this man was different and that they wanted to follow him. And then he went about proclaiming the truths of the kingdom, saying how blessings would follow those who believed in him and those who followed his commandments. Then he worked miracles to show that he truly had the power of God. But all of this wasn't enough for some people. Some people remained obstinate of heart. What he did was not enough to captivate everybody. And we know, infamously, the Pharisees, who remained aloof. They heard and they saw, but they did not believe. They found ways to explain it away. So in today's gospel, we see Jesus going on to his next strategy. He speaks to people now in parables. And his disciples ask him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he says, "They look but do not see, hear but do not listen and understand." And it may even sound like a punishment, that these people who didn't get it, well, I'm going to speak to them in parables, which are confusing, so they definitely won't get it now. But it's really not a punishment. It's kind of like a riddle, and in that way, an invitation. You know, we've heard riddles, and when people say a riddle, it's like, oh, what could the answer be? Let me think about it. Let me mull it over and find the answer. And that's the way the parables are supposed to work. It's kind of this cryptic story, this way of explaining it that kind of draws you in to make you think about it. So he's reaching out to those who remain obstinate, those who remain unconvinced. And then what of our day and age? We know in our world that Christianity is losing its influence. It's losing its luster. It's losing its attraction. Our hearts, well, generally, people's hearts are growing more bitter and more obstinate to Christianity because they just see it as one proposal, one option among many that offers to relieve the struggles and the boredom of life. But when we look at the readings today, we're flooded with images of vibrant life, more specifically, verdant pastures and flourishing crops, life. The first reading, God's word makes the earth fertile and fruitful. The second, or the psalm, the seed falls on good ground and it will yield a fruitful harvest. In the second reading, which is kind of the converse, creation is stuck in futility and it groans for life. It groans to be freed from corruption and desolation. And then in the gospel, some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, even 100-fold. But our parable tells us quite clearly, if the soil is no good, if the soil is not prepared, the plants will die. We will find desolation and not life. There will be no fruitful vine or verdant pasture. These readings all testify that the gospel, that the good news, that the seed and the word of God gives life, truly gives us life. So how do contemporary men and women, civilized and prosperous Americans, how are they attracted to Jesus and the good news? Well, we know that people are not attracted to desolation. People are not attracted to boredom. They're not attracted to the stagnant and the stale. They're not attracted to just boring doctrine. They're not attracted to moralism. No. But we do know that they're searching. We know that we have this desire for more because we're surrounded by desolate places in TV land, in politics, in universities, in our families, in all of our entertainments. There's this desolation. And so we keep searching for more. We gather more experiences and more things, and we try to fill this void. But we know that our desire is never met, and so we keep going after more. What attracts people today, I believe, is a vibrant human life. They're attracted to the person who has rich soil and who witnesses in their life an abundant harvest of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, selflessness, and so on. They're attracted to someone's life who is more intense, more human, more full of all that is good. And it's almost like a parable, and it reaches out to them and grabs them. What does that person have? How did they do that? What have they found that they have so much life? And we know that such intensity of life and such goodness can only come from God, from Christ and living in his church. When we allow Christ to plant in the soil of our hearts. Thus, it is only in Christ's church where the hope of the human heart can find rest. And to reach out to those around us, to be a light to the confusion of our culture, we must witness to the vibrance of the life of the church. The Christ event didn't just happen 2,000 years ago and we just think about it and talk about it. No, it's happening now. It happens in us. Christ is active in us. He keeps sowing his life and his goodness and his truth in us today. And he does that hoping that it will yield an abundant harvest. And that harvest will be attractive so that when other people see us, they'll say, "Hey, that's amazing. I wonder how that happened." And they'll know that, well, maybe it's there, maybe it's in the church that I can find the fullness of life, that I can find the answer to the desires of my life. And what they see in us is the life of Christ within us. And they'll ask, hopefully, what have they found? And hopefully they'll find the answer. They found Christ. We have found Christ, the only one who can truly awaken our humanity and bring it to the fullness of life. So may God's life flourish within us and become a parable attracting others to the truth of Christ so that they too may experience the joy of a free and abundant life.